It is good to be back with you again today. And I hope that you got up this morning and that you spent time with the Lord and that you're looking for the Lord to do a work in your heart and in your life today. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Joshua in the 18th chapter. Now, this morning, and you know before I start preaching, I generally talk to you for a minute or two. I feel like a little kid on Christmas Eve. And tomorrow, as of right now, we're flying off to Texas. And we're thankful to be able to go. And pray for us. Pray that we stay healthy. Pray that we can do the recording that we're supposed to. We are recording classes to be used in the International Baptist Bible Institute. And that will be, you pray about this. There's several different languages and people groups that want to use this. And that's very humbling to us. And you pray that all goes well. Pray that my electronics work. All of my stuff is in this thing right here. If it gets lost or breaks down, I don't know what I would do. All righty, so June has notebooks, but I'm sick of carrying notebooks around the world. All righty, and things. So do pray for us. And we go down there. This is not an international trip, but it's kind of like one. When I preach in the church, I have to have a translator. People 25 and up, probably only a quarter of them speak English. And my Spanish is very, very limited. You know, I can say buenos dias, buenas tardes, buenas noches, buenas nachos. No, I can, you know, como estás and maybe en and those things. And I really know how to say grande carne fajitas. Amen. All right. I know I got that one down pretty good and things. But there's no way I could speak in Spanish and stuff. So. Anyway, it's good. And we're looking forward to being there. And I talked with the preacher yesterday or Friday. In the last couple days, I talked to him. He and his wife are taking us to our favorite restaurant in that area. Amen. I'm excited on Tuesday. All righty. So that weight that I've lost may be coming back with me. All right. But we're very excited about going. We're excited to be here with you. I love to preach the Word of God. I love to teach the Word of God. And here for the next few weeks, I get to do that daily. And I'm excited for that. You know there's all these jokes floating around and stuff. You know what I mean? And I think I remember who sent this to me. But I'm not sure. It was another preacher friend, I believe. It was a coronavirus thing. And it said, please wear your masks. It has nothing to do with the virus. Some of y'all are just ugly. I wondered why he sent that to me. All right. And all. But anyway, okay. This morning, we want to take a look at the book of Joshua. Oh, one last thing. Do pray for us. I looked on the weather in Mission, Texas. And for this next week, the coolest high is 98 degrees, and they like that. Anyway, okay, Joshua chapter 18. Going to preach to you this morning on perils to avoid. When I preach, I keep in mind a saying I heard years ago. It's a preacher's job to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Amen? You understand? So, when I preach, I try to, I don't want to be mean, but I do want to challenge you. I do want you to understand there's responsibility and accountability. Amen? And we need to look at it that way. So, if you're physically able, stand with me in honor of the Word of God. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 18. Okay? The Bible says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. At that time, you're looking at roughly 2.5 million people, about the size of the metropolitan St. Louis area. Back to the Bible. And set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack? Now look at this. He's not praising these seven people groups. He's saying, what is the matter with you? You've been lazy. Why haven't you been at it? How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall arise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south. The house of Joseph shall abide on their coasts to the north. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we come to church today, help us to be thankful that we have the opportunity to come freely. But help us to come expecting you to do a work in our hearts and lives. God, I pray that we would still our minds, that we would put out of our thoughts the things that are going on and what we have to do yet even today in this coming week, and help us to focus on you and what you have for us. Help us to respond as you would have us to, and we ask it in thy name, amen. Thank you and be seated, please. Now, as you look into the book of Joshua, it's often compared to the life of a Christian. In this book, we see a great victory. But not everything's perfect. When a person gets saved, the Bible tells us that we're new creatures in Christ. Okay? Old things are passed away. But that doesn't make us perfect, does it? We've got a ways to go. Amen? Yeah, even if you've been saved for 40 years or so, 50, you've still got a ways to go. And a Christian life shouldn't be like this. It ought to be kind of like this. You understand? None of us are perfect. All of us have bad days. All of us have times when things come into our life that are tough. Loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of health, any of those things work on us. But our Christian life should be characterized by victory. If it's not, the problem is not on God's side, all righty? And that only leaves one other side for there to be a problem, and that's on our side. And we need to be honest, and we need to take a look at this. Now, Joshua leads the Jewish people into the promised land, and they live in that land. But there's perils that they have to watch out for. There's perils that you and I have to watch out for. You know, there's different things that come up. We can get frustrated. People can irritate us. People can aggravate us. I tell people, and I'm sincere when I say this, my wife is the most even-keeled person I've ever met in my life. But I do know how to get her goat. Amen? And I can do it in a hurry. All righty? And sometimes it's fun. All right, now. All of us have situations that we deal with that might be different, that the Lord allows us to go through for us to see where we are. There's a verse that challenges me. It's in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Only, I hate that word in that verse, only by pride cometh contention. You know, everybody understands that some of the times it's pride. God says it is always pride. Only by pride cometh contention. So, there are times that we have to stand for truth. We have to stand for right. And sometimes that's not easy and it's not fun. But sometimes we're just bullheaded and want our own way. Now, I was born in downtown St. Louis. I was raised in the suburbs. I have lived in Ferguson, Missouri, all righty? And if you don't know where that is, you don't pay attention to the news at all or about that, okay? But Missouri, our emblem is the Missouri mule. And you know why that is? Is that we're thick-headed. stubborn. And as I've traveled around the United States, I've met a lot of adopted Missourians. Amen? And many of them sit in independent fundamental Baptist churches like this one. I'm not trying to pick on you, but I just want us to understand where we are and what we might need to work on. Now, to look at what's going on, there's been 7 years of fighting the people that lived in the Promised Land, the inhabitants there. And the Lord gave victory. And if you look at the life of Joshua, they had victory all the time except one time at Ai, and that's when they forgot to pray and ask God's direction. Isn't that amazing? David never had a defeat when he was the king of Israel because he asked the Lord every time, how do we do this? And the Lord directed him. Joshua messed up one time in that. But the Lord gave victory, and now the Jewish nation was possessing the land. The land had been promised to the children of Israel years earlier, and for 40 years, they had to wander around in the wilderness. You remember why? In Numbers 13 and 14, under the direction of God, Moses sent out 12 spies into the land. You remember that? One guy from each tribe? And they came back, and in chapter 14, it says that Caleb stilled the people before Moses. This is an exact quote, but he said, let's go, we can get in there, and we can take the land. And he had one guy that stood with him. That was Joshua, those two guys. The other 10 said, no, this is bad, we can't do it. And before long, those 10 had the rest of the Israelites ready to stone Joshua, Caleb, and Moses because they wanted to trust the Lord. I point that out because sometimes when we want to walk with God, we do that in a very small group. Sometimes people don't understand. Sometimes family doesn't understand. Sometimes friends don't understand. But I've lived long enough that I've learned, and this is not my saying, I wish it was, that we either have to change our companions to keep our convictions, or we change our convictions to keep our companions. And we have to determine, and that's on us. What are we going to do? And here's Joshua leading the children of Israel, and he did a good job. Did a great job. Now, God expects us to be steady, moving forward in victory and triumph toward Christ-likeness. For this to happen, there's got to be many significant changes in our lives. We need to understand that we are sinners by nature. The world says there's a spark of divinity in every child. I cannot imagine somebody that's had children that would believe that. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. We are sinners by habit. And when we got saved, we're new creatures in Christ, but all that other stuff just didn't fall away. It's stuff that we have to work on. The Jewish nation had battles and trials that they had to go through. They had to cross Jordan. They exchanged the wilderness defeat for blessing and victory, and they had to subdue the enemy. Now, we must learn what it's like to have a victorious Christian life. And I look around, and I, for the life of me, cannot understand how Christians can be down in the dumps even in the time of the coronavirus. Has it been weird? Absolutely. I saw a T-shirt the other day. It said 2020, and it had stars, 1 to 5 stars, and it had 1 star, and it said not recommended. All righty? It's been a weird year. Stuff has happened that is just crazy. And if you're honest at all, you've got to admit now it's nothing but political in our country. I'm not here to debate that today. But the Lord brought this into our lives for an opportunity for us to show the world how good our God is. We just sang a chorus about crown him Lord of Lords and crown him kings of kings. And we should. And he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. And one day he's coming back. And it's our opportunity, it's our privilege, it's our responsibility to share that with people. Even during coronavirus. That doesn't mean that we can do everything like we normally did. But people shouldn't see us wringing our hands. What are we going to do? You know, the only person in the world I like to hear whine is me. There's nobody else in the world I like to hear whine. I hate whiners. You know? Now, we have to be serious about walking with God. That's why I said I hope all of you got up and spent time with God this morning in His Word and praying and asking blessing on the service today. You know, in China, they start coming to services 2 hours early. They come about every 10 or 15 minutes in small groups. How would you like to come 2 hours early this morning? How would you like to be on a 2-hour early group? They do that so as to not draw attention. And you know what they do for those couple of hours until church starts? Either in a group of two or three or by themselves, they read their Bibles and pray. What a novel way to be ready for church. We wonder why the gospel's thriving in China. I'm not saying you need to come 2 hours early, but I am saying you need to spend time with God. Let's take a look here. Number one, there's the peril of inertia. And I had to stretch to get this word. I have three eyes, inertia. And that's a state of rest, a state of rest. What's the peril here? Now, there was a promise. God promised to give the children of Israel this land. And right there, now, today, over there, they're fighting for the land and all of that stuff. And I don't want to bring bad news to the Arab world, but the Jews are going to have more than they have right now because God said they're going to. All righty? And that's going to happen. Okay? But there's a promise that they're going to have the land. Now, there's a promise for us. When we get saved, we become a child of God. Isn't that a great thing? We become an heir with Jesus Christ. Isn't that tremendous? Now, there's a blessing if the children of Israel possess that land. And there is security in the land. Now, there's a blessing if we possess our land. What do you mean by that, preacher? What are you saying? We need to live as God would have us to live. That doesn't mean that we're all little puppets walking around. I mean, we have different likes. We have different dislikes. There's guys, people in this room that like football. There's people that don't. There's people that like golf. There's people that don't. There's people, if we were to ask different foods, we would get all kinds of different ideas. If we asked what your hobby is, there would be all kinds of different, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm hearing things. All right. I wondered if it was me. All right. But there's all kinds of different things that go on, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're individuals. But we can't say I'm an individual and walk in sin. Because the truth is there's things that I like that are sinful. And there's things that you like that are sinful or you wouldn't do them. Amen? All right? When it gets real quiet in a church like this, I know I'm close to something. When I was a kid, I learned to shoot a .22 pistol in the city dump where my mother is from. My mother is from the booming metropolis of Leechville, Arkansas. And the city dump at those days, I mean, I'm talking, you all know, I'm 65, all right? I'm talking when I was 8, 9, and 10 years old, so we're going back a day or two. There was a part of town where there was some land, and when you had trash, you just took it out there and threw it there. And so my dad and my uncle would take me out, and we'd get cans and set them up on the post. When I got good with that pistol, 9-shot .22 revolver, our family still has that pistol. To be more specific, I still have that pistol. I knew that when I graduated from cans, we went to shooting rats. And you know what? When you get close to a rat, it gets quiet. When you shoot them, they squeal. All righty? So when I'm close, it gets real quiet. You understand? I'm not calling you a rat. I'm just saying that's how it is. All righty. Now, what we have to do is get our lives in tune with what God likes. Amen? It's not for God to get in tune with what we like. It's for us to get in tune. Well, people will think I'm weird. You are weird. Don't worry about it. When did the world ever think Christians were normal? Tell me when that happened. Well, I don't know if I can do it. If you're right with God, you can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's Philippians 4 and verse 13. There's a promise and there's perpetual. The steadfast are secure in Christ. And I'm talking about people. If we're steadfast, we're secure in Christ. We're guided by principle. Okay? Steadfast in Christ is an action. Secure in Christ is an attitude. Do you feel secure in Christ? I mean, do you? If you feel secure in Christ, that's an attitude and it'll affect your action. You know what I mean? We were in Kohl's department store probably 7 years ago. And there was a mother from our church with her youngest daughter who was about 3 at that time. And the mom saw us, the little girl didn't, in line. And I called the little girl's name. I said, Nora. She got it. And then I went, Nora. The same. She grabbed her mama. And I said it the third time, and she turned around and looked at me. And then she pointed at me and grinned and came over and hugged me. But she's secure in her mom. Are we secure in the Lord? I mean, are we secure? Your worry meter will answer that. What's a worry meter? How much do you worry? 0 or 100%? Most of us are in the middle in there somewhere. Okay? The shaky are guided by emotions. They're guided by pleasure and personalities. Circumstances guide their feelings. All of us know that our feelings are fickle. If our stomach's upset, we don't feel good, right? If we didn't get enough sleep, we can get cranky. All of that. Feelings are not good. Our feelings are okay, but feelings are not good to judge our actions on. Shaky people continue on past accomplishments. They're not going forward, reaching forward. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? And by the way, we fit into one of those categories. We're either steadfast or we're shaky. If we're a believer, we fit into one of those categories. You say, preacher, all this Christian stuff, it's new to me. Hey, when I got saved, it was new to me. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. It was brand new to me. I felt like I was taking a drink out of a fire hydrant. And there are times I still do. Number one, as we trust the Lord, He enables us to do what He wants us to do. My father was cruel and unusual. If mom made it, I had to eat it. Period. If you griped about it, you got more. And you couldn't get up till it was gone. Period. End of discussion. My father was not even kind about this. That was the law of the Medes and the Persians. Period. When I was little, I didn't like green peas. Those little things. They would gag me. My dad didn't care if you gagged, it went down. Period. Period. Mom, I don't know if she figured this out or whatever, but it got to where she made mashed potatoes and gravy a lot of time when she had peas. I'd push those little things in there with the mashed potatoes where you couldn't even taste them, you know, and I'd eat them. You know, now I love green peas. I love them. When I got saved, I'd grown up in the standard, traditional, unsaved environment. I grew up in early high school. I never missed a concert. I never missed a dance. I loved that stuff. When I got saved, they told me that music was wrong, and they told me why, and I knew they were right. There's no question there. It's not even a debatable topic. But I couldn't stand listening to Beethoven and Bach and all that stuff. My idea of Bach was like Bach in my old Kentucky home and carry me Bach to old Virginia. That's what I, you know. But I listen to that stuff, and I love that stuff now. My point with that is, if you do what you should, there'll become the time when it seems like second nature to you. And not doing it seems wrong. Doesn't happen overnight. The changes aren't easy, but they're worth fighting for. And then there's the plight. How to live a victorious Christian life. Now, being self-serving will never accomplish that. Was Jesus self-serving? Was he? Did Jesus go out of his way for people? Did Jesus have a comfortable lifestyle? Did he? Did he? Okay. Self-denial. That's the life of a Christian. That's 100% contrary to the world. We need to first sacrifice our sins. What do you mean by that? Well, it begins with confession. 1 John 1:9, it says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? The word confess means to agree. What do I mean to agree? It means that we need to agree with God about our sin. Okay? So if we confess our sin, we're acknowledging that we have broken the law of God. We have transgressed His law. Period. All right? Now, it's one thing, and I think this is one of our greatest sins. When I say ours, I'm talking about churches like ours, is that we can become very Pharisaical, look down at others that don't do it exactly like we do it. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, when we don't do that, or when we are Pharisaical, we're not pleasing to God. That's self-denial, not self-denial. I'm sure I've said this before here, but, you know, we compare ourselves to other folks. I'm not as bad as, we got somebody in mind. And the truth is, we may not be as bad as them. But they're not the standard. God's the standard. And we're way short on that standard. Way short. The best of us are. My father grew up in southeast Missouri. He said, don't measure your corn by somebody else's half bushel. That was his way of saying that. Okay? I have a lot of southeastern Missouri theology that I grew up on. But don't measure your corn by someone else's half bushel. God is our standard, and that's who we need to look at. We need to sacrifice our sins. Begins with confession, and it begets our forgiveness. We need to sacrifice our reputation. You say, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to have a good testimony. We are. Has anybody ever lied about you? Anybody ever lied? If they haven't, you haven't lived long enough yet. Because they will. And us older folks can all say amen. Okay? For Christ's sake, for how people will look at us. If people can honestly look at us and say we're dishonest, now that's bad on our part. If people look at us and honestly say they don't finish their job, they don't keep their word, that's bad on our part. But if people want to fault us, you remember how they faulted Daniel? In his relationship to God, in his prayer life. Read Daniel 6, it's right in there. We need to sacrifice our slothful spiritual habits. Don't raise your hand. How many of you get up early to read the Bible and pray? And if you don't do that, how many of you at times are going to say, I'm just too tired, I don't have time today to do that? David said, early will I seek thee. How often do we not hand out a tract or invite somebody to church or try to witness? We need to get rid of our slothful spiritual habits. Now, there's the peril of inertia. There's the peril of incompatibility. Look at Joshua chapter 22. Now, there's 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh, were given land on the east side of the Jordan. The reason for that is they asked for that, okay? But they had a condition. The condition was that they had to come help. They had to send soldiers in to help subdue the land, and they did that. And in Joshua 22, they're returning home after this happened. Joshua had released them. And going home, they built an altar. Okay, verse 10 tells us that. And look at verse 12. And the whole, and when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. 2.5 tribes built an altar as an altar of remembrance. We'll see that a little bit later. The other tribes did not know what was going on, did not understand. So they're thinking, this cannot be of God. They have to be reprobate. They're breaking God. They're going to bring trouble on our land. What do we got to do? We got to go kill them. It had to be a Baptist group. All right? Look down at verse 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this? We know you're sinners. You're trespassing. What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have built, in that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Those other tribes, they knew that Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh, that they were sinners and that they were wrong, and that there's no question about it. Verse 17. Is this iniquity of Peor too little for us? For from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord. But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Not one time have they said, what did you do? They were just ready to kill him. Literally kill him. Cut off their heads. Look at verse 24. And if ye had not rather done it for the fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? And it's coming out. They built this for a remembrance. Whenever they looked at that, they taught their kids that our responsibility is to help those people. And we did that. And it's your responsibility to help them. And when the other tribes see it, they're supposed to teach their kids the very same thing about that 2.5 tribes. And we could go on, verse 26, and look what it says there in verse 26. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build an altar, not for a burnt offering nor for a sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before with him, with our burnt offerings and our sacrifices and our peace offerings, that your children may say to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. All this was a reminder, okay? Now, what's the peril of incompatibility? Number one, assumptions, okay? They're caused by disregard or ignorance. Don't know the whole story. They caused a division. Those guys are not as spiritual as we are. We're the ones in the land. We're the ones doing what's right, even though Moses had given them that land. And we could go through and talk about that, but that's a different subject. But it was cured by discourse, willing to listen to each other. Isn't that amazing? There's a preacher that I will name, and if I shouldn't do this, you'll tell me about it later. John MacArthur. He does not stand where we stand. He's way to the left of us. Okay? I'm not saying he's unsaved. I'm not wishing him bad. I'm just making a statement. You know, in the state of California, they did not want churches to have more than like 10 people. And he put together one of the best documents I've ever seen on rendering unto Caesar what's Caesar's and rendering unto God what's God's. Many of you have seen that. I saw that thing. And he said, we're going to have church. And they did. They showed it on the news. They had several thousand people. Did you see what they did last Sunday? When he welcomed everybody there, he said, welcome to, and he named his church and everything. And he said, thank you for coming to our peaceful protest. He got a standing ovation. Either Thursday or Friday, the court ruled in favor of John MacArthur. He took a stand. And he has a big church and is in an area with a lot of people and all of that. And he was willing to stand up and do what's right. And there were other preachers that believe what we believe that thanked him for that and went to them. They should have. I mean, he stood up. They were threatening him with $1,000 a day fine. He had to hire lawyers, but it was the right thing to do. He said, we're not going to give in to Caesar on what is God's. Okay? Assumptions. Sometimes we assume people mean stuff, and sometimes people, have you ever talked to someone and you say, well, I thought you were doing that, and they weren't? That ever happened? Well, I thought that's what you meant. And it wasn't. Assumptions will get us in trouble if we don't know the whole story. And then anticipation. Man, these guys, they were ready to go to war against their brothers because they questioned what they were doing. Do you know what happens in churches like us, like ours? Don't give an ear to gossip. Church members do it and preachers do it. I was in a preacher's fellowship years ago in northeast Pennsylvania. And after the fellowship, and there were a couple guys, there was one of the preachers had a Christian school, and he and I were good friends, and my kids went to his school. He had a rule, and quite frankly, I didn't like the rule. I wish he would have changed it. Wasn't my responsibility. I wasn't in charge of the school. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a bad thing. It just, I wouldn't have done it that way. After breakfast this day, two other preachers came up to me and said, you're close to Tom. Why don't you get his ear? We don't like that. It was the same rule I didn't like. He needs to change that rule. And I was in favor of him changing that rule. Tom was about to go out the door. You know what I did? I said, Tom, there's probably 30 preachers in here. I said, hey, Tom, come here. Mark's got a question for you. You know what happened? Not one of those guys ever brought a problem to me again. I did that. And if you do that, they'll quit doing that to you. You understand what I'm saying? And Tom sat there and defended one of the dumbest rules I've ever heard. It wasn't that bad, but you know what I'm saying. You say, what do we need to do? We do need to give every side a hearing. You say, what do you mean? Find out what's going on. It may be trouble, but it may not be trouble. And do help the fallen. Keep your finger in chapter 18. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. The truth of the matter is, there are some people that I think they've got a gospel gun or a spiritual gun, and they like to notch it, everybody they shoot. That guy doesn't do it like I do. He might do it better than you do. Look at Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Wow. So if we think we're strong spiritually, we're supposed to help people be restored. We're not supposed to kick them when they're down. We're not supposed to read them the riot act. And we're supposed to do it in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And down in verse 5 it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. The Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. There's two words in the original language for burden. The burden in verse 2 is a huge burden that nobody can carry by themselves. And the burden in verse 5 is like a backpack. I will have one on tomorrow. All right? We're supposed to help people. Did Jesus help people? If you read the Gospels, the only people he condemned were the Pharisees. Everybody else he helped. Am I right or am I wrong? Okay? That's what we need to do. We see somebody that's fallen, say, well, you deserve that one, you big dummy. And I've seen preachers who wouldn't say that but had that attitude. Well, I knew he was like that all along. Well, wouldn't you like what you're like all along being public knowledge? I wouldn't. How about you? Huh? We're to help restore a fallen brother. That's Christianity. Point three, the peril of ignorance. Okay? Let's go back. Joshua chapter 20. Verses 1 through 6, we're not going to read them because this clock up here. But this is the cities of refuge, okay, is what Jesus is talking about. And there's six cities. And they're a place to go if someone accidentally kills someone. Not a premeditated murder, but an accidental death, okay? It's where a person could go and they would have safety during that time. If you want big explanation on this, you can read Deuteronomy 19. Much of a person's guilt comes from ignorance. After years of ministry, I believe that. Okay? Much of our guilt comes from ignorance. Okay? And by that, I mean ignorance of the Word of God and ignorance on what God has for us and God's standard. Now, anything that's contrary to God's holiness is sin. Period. We are told to grieve not the Spirit. Okay, amen. Have you ever read that before? Okay, all righty. Now, I think we carelessly grieve God at times by not being careful, by doing things that we shouldn't. I'll tell you, you do pray for me. Do you know who irritates me to no end? Is stupid drivers. Do they irritate you? I mean, they just do. After we get to San Antonio, we only have 245 more miles to drive. The good news is when you get south of San Antonio a little bit, there's not much traffic. Amen? And the last rest stop on the interstate there has a big sign that says, beware of snakes. All right, and stuff. But there are things that we can grieve God at by just being careless in our own lives. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. We make excuses. We wouldn't accept those excuses from anybody else, but we always make them for ourselves. Well, Lord, you know I was it, and I did, and this is what was going on. And you understand? Okay. We make excuses. And sometimes we get back to comparing. We don't have time to turn, but Matthew 6, verses 1 through 5. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And this is that part where a guy says, let me pull that mote out of your eye. And Jesus, is speaking. He says he's got a beam out of his own eye. Now, can you imagine that? I have an imagination. And here's a guy with a beam out of his eye wanting to get a mote, which is a little speck, out of somebody else's eye. Fundamental Baptists are tremendous mode inspectors. And we shouldn't be. If you want to read that, Matthew 7, 1 to 5, and talk about that. Absolute forgiveness comes from God and God alone. Jesus is our city of refuge. Period. There is no other. When we sin, we go to him to get it taken care of. Sometimes we have to go to people to get things taken care of. Preacher, you ever had to do that? Yes, I have. Is it fun? No, it's not. It's very humbling. But when you got to do it, you got to do it. Period. I was wrong. You know, in American culture, those are hard words to say. It's easy to say you're wrong. It's a different story to say I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? What keeps you from possessing the land? We know each other a little bit. You don't know me real well. You might think you do. You don't. And I think I know you, and I might not know you as well as I think I do. But all of us are sinners. All of us struggle with some things that should keep us close to God. And we need to be determined that by the grace of God, we're going to do what's right. No excuses. No yeah buts. You know what a yeah but is? I was going to do that, Dad, but. No yeah buts. I was wrong, and I need to change. By the way, if you say, well, I can't find many areas of my life I need to change. If you're married, ask your mate. If you're a child, ask your parents. If you're parents, ask your children. They will all help you. All right? And if you're real serious, ask God for the Holy Spirit to shine some light in some areas in your life, and he'll do that. What perils do we need to be on guard for? My perils might be different from your perils. You know what I'm saying? But all of us need to be on guard. Some things are general, but there are specific things. And all of us understand that the blessing is in the promised land. The security is in the promised land. When we're out of that is when things are a mess in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how clear your word is. And God, I pray in the stillness of the moment that we will be honest with you. I pray for you to help us, God, to see what we need from you. And help us to be honest with ourselves and with you. And in the stillness of the moment, help us to take the time to do business with you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, there is nothing in the world more important than doing business with God. There is not one thing in politics, in our state or around the world or in business anywhere that's more important than you doing business with God, than me doing business with God. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and I've given you a minute, would there be someone who would say, Preacher, the Lord has challenged me in some areas in my life. Here is my hand. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over, front to back, different genders, different ages. Anybody else, just before we pray? Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that have responded. We thank you for your grace and your love to us. We thank you for your long suffering. And God, I pray that you will help us to be surrendered to you as we should. Lord, I pray for victory for these folks in whatever area that you're dealing with them about. Help them to have victory in that area. And we ask it in thy name. Amen.